Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button and making time to edge God in to your words, your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions. We're grateful for another gift of life today. Please join us at edgegodin.com for more podcasts. Our mission here at Edge God In is simple: to champion human potential in Christ, to champion your human potential in Christ. The title of today's podcast is The Just Shall Live by Faith. The learning objective is to resurrect your joy in the Lord. Are you feeling stressed these days with the coronavirus craze that's going on and the fear that's grabbing a hold of all of our hearts in different ways? Well, then listen in. Tune into this podcast. Be present to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit for 1 to 3 things to help you return to peace, to help you remember what your soul always knows. It is well. It is well with my soul. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Yes. So I shall not fear. I shall not fear. But I shall run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Sweet Jesus, we're just so grateful for this time together today. I pray that you'd open our hearts. What do you want to say to us today? To remind our mind what our soul always knows. We can do all things through you who give us strength. We can experience life to the fullest, no matter what surrounds us. And we can also give more authority to your strength, your victory, and the resurrected presence within us, then to our circumstances, to the shiny objects of fear, self-doubt, and worry. We've been hijacked, Lord, so bring us back in. Reconnect us to you. You are the head. You are our salvation. May the words of our mouth, meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification of everyone that's tuning in to today's podcast. Resurrect our joy, Lord. Resurrect our joy. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am joined today by a dear friend and colleague of mine, Judy Kinnebrew. She's been on other podcasts before. Judy, thank you so much for putting the spark in today's podcast, because this was your idea. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, yes, let's address this.
Yes, so excited.
Yep, very, very excited. So I'm going to turn this over to you. We set the learning objective for today, to resurrect your joy in the Lord. So Judy, you're studying Habakkuk, and you had mentioned that to me yesterday. So I'm just going to turn this over to you and some of the things you were sharing with me. Let's share that with listeners, because there is a lot of fear that's going and trepidation about the unknown. How are we to respond as followers of Christ?
Well, what I think is so perfect about this book is that it's short and it's packed. And there are many ways to talk about this book, but for such a time as this, it's important to know. First of all, I'm going to say some people will say Habakkuk and some people will say Habakkuk, and we're not going to get caught up in that, but just so that we can all become aligned. Habakkuk was a prophet, and it's important for you to know that, because prophets typically hear from the Lord and then translate that or speak that to others. In this case, Habakkuk got a vision, and he got a vision of what is to come, and he was very, very disturbed by that. So he comes to this dialogue with a burden. And what's so wonderful about that is that often when we get burdened and overwhelmed, we don't talk to the Lord about it. And I think the first lesson for us here is that he wants us to bring everything to him. He doesn't want us to carry our cares because they're too heavy for us. We know that we're to be anxious for nothing but through prayer and supplication. Just let our request be known to the Lord. We know that He will hear our cry. He hears our every moan and our every cry. Clearly, Habakkuk knows this. And so he goes to the Lord with a question because he clearly has come to the Lord in the past around this same issue over and over again. And so he's crying out to the Lord saying, you know, how long do I have to do this? How many times do I have to come before you and cry out to you? And you keep showing me things. You keep showing me trouble. You keep showing me what's happening to the powerless. You keep showing me what the wicked are doing to the righteous. How long before you do something about it? The rest of us might say, my goodness, is that our place to come before the Lord and cry out to him and ask him that question? The answer to that is yes. We can come to the Lord with any question. We just cannot question the Lord. I think that's important to make the distinction that we can bring anything to the Lord and ask him why. Because he's our daddy. He's our father. He wants us to come to him through faith in our belief, asking him why. So we are to bring our issues to the Lord, but we're not to question who he is. We can ask him a question about how he operates and for better understanding and wisdom and discernment. So Habakkuk does that. Then what's fascinating is the Lord does reply. And when he replies, he says, hey, it is going down just like you see it. And I know that it's disturbing to you, but sit back and watch me work. Because what Habakkuk sees is that his people are going to be attacked. Everybody's going to be attacked, the righteous and the unrighteous. And by the way, this is the Babylonians, and they are bad, bad people. They don't care about God. They don't care about people. They have snatched other nations. They are on the way. And Habakkuk is perplexed by this. And when he inquires of the Lord, he doesn't get the answer that he's expecting. So the Lord says, hey, check me out. He says, I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it were told to you. The Lord is saying, he's telling us all the time the ramifications about the way we act. He's telling us all the time that when it appears that the wicked have taken over, that we cannot join the wicked. You know, it's this thing that we as believers always say that we're in the world, but we can't be of the world. We're to be set apart. We're to respond to things differently. We're to act differently because of who we are. And sometimes we forget who we are and whose we are and what he has promised us. So we become fearful, we become overwhelmed. We have this series of events that often happen to us because we forget who we are. But in this case, the Lord said, it's absolutely going to happen. And I'm getting ready to, as they would say, blow your hair back.
I love that.
I'm getting ready to do this. And the thing is that I'm going to use these very bad people to bring judgment on what will be a mixture of righteous and unrighteous. If you can imagine as a prophet getting that vision from the Lord, wow. Mm. It's just...
Yeah, it's amazing. And then what? Once you get that vision, what do you do with it?
Exactly. And he does tell him what to do with it. But first, Habakkuk actually comes to him with another question. And that's what I think is so amazing about this. Habakkuk is saying, yeah, you replied to me, but I still don't get it.
He loves our humanity.
Yes.
and meets us in our weakness. What's interesting, Judy, is in my Bible that I've had since college, it refers to those questions as complaints. That he brings before the Lord his complaints, as yes. did Jonah, right?
Yes. And what's interesting is he goes from crying out to the Lord with the first question to now coming back and saying, but why, mm-hmm. you know, you did let me see this. Now what? Why aren't you? And then he tells the Lord who he is. He tells the Lord, aren't you not from everlasting? Oh, Lord, my God, my Holy One. Mm. Oh, Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. Oh, rock. You see, he keeps addressing the Lord. So he's not disrespecting the Lord. He is not doubting who the Lord is. He is affirming who he knows the Lord to be. So he's saying, what is happening here? Why? I know you to be this. And he actually asked him why more than once. And he gives this example of why do you make men like fish of the sea, creeping things that have no ruler over them, because he's concerned about judgment. And he knows that the Babylonians have no respect for the law, that therefore perverse judgment proceeds because the law has no power, because they don't respect the law. They don't respect anything but their own strength. And this is a very strong message that when we get too comfortable in our own strength, we then neglect our opportunity to engage heaven by praying and inquiring of the Lord. And in this case, he even says, their power, their strength is their God. And it wows me because I just never considered that strength could be considered an idol. When you actually place all of your, you place everything in your own strength to be able to control this, or your own strength to be able to do this. Mm. And the fact that the Lord will just let you do that.
Well, you know, that's so interesting, Judy, because, you know, we're reminded in Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish?
Yes.
After starting with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Mm. And again, in Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So this theme of flipping to the flesh versus the Spirit, do I give my Spirit permission to guide my flesh, or do I give my flesh permission to guide my spirit? And as we prayed in the beginning of today's podcast, dear God, remind our minds of what the Holy Spirit always knows. Because when we're in that sense of fear, then we're limited to only three choices: fight, flight, or freeze.
True.
And that could become Animal Planet very quickly. Just saying, with some of the stuff we're seeing over toilet paper these days.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I think I mentioned this on the last podcast, but an interesting fun fact is, the average IQ in America, or in general, is around 100. Einstein was rocking about 165. When we are in a place of strong negative emotion, fear, anger, fear and anger particularly, we can drop our IQ 30 points down to 70. And that is the benchmark for cognitive disability. Formally, that's the current phrase used for, when we grew up, it was referred to as mental retardation. That has been replaced by cognitive disability at 70. And so as we think about that and what you're speaking into here, our strength can become an idol.
Yes.
That is such a powerful thought and awareness to pull that up to the front line, to give us the opportunity to identify and adjust the weaknesses that emerge, the ramification of trying to do life in our own strength.
You know, we have examples over and over again of, when we are weak, he is strong. You know, why would we ever want to minimize allowing the strength of the Lord to come forward? Why would we ever want to not have a full experience with the Lord because we are so busy trying to control everything? We never, we're not giving ourselves an opportunity to see him work. We're trying to control the outcome, even in our prayers. We often will tell the Lord how we want this thing to come out. And my experience has been, I think it's okay to tell him what you want, of course. But like Habakkuk says, you know, get prepared that he might come back with something. He's probably going to come back with something that has nothing to do with what you want, because it has to be for his glory at the end of the day, his purposes going forward and it being for his glory. And often we have so many scales on our eyes that we can't see that far, you know.
I love that picture of the scales in our eyes as Jesus took. What's interesting is when Jesus took the blind man, that's the only miracle out of all four gospels where Jesus actually leads the man away from the crowd and out of the town to heal him.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to be led out of the chaos by the Lord so that the scales can fall from our eyes.
Yes.
So that we can have that time to be still and even have the opportunity to know, what do you want me to do right now, Lord?
Yes.
How do you want me to respond? Is there someone you want me to reach out to? How do you want me to respond to situations around me? You'd mentioned, one other thought came to my mind that I wanted to share as you were preaching it, sister. I got to tell you, man, this is good stuff. I'm silenced by just the inspiration for this particular podcast. Peter Kreft is a philosopher, Christian philosopher. He's actually, I believe, at Boston College. He's a huge fan of C.S. Lewis. I listened to one of his podcasts one time, and this really stuck with me, because he said, you know what's interesting? When we're with a very, very wise man, we might say very few words, right? They'll do most of the talking. When we're with an infant, we'll probably do most of the talking. A young child will still probably do a lot of the talking. Teenager, possibly the same. Now, when we sit before a wise man, we do less of the talking. And even above that, when we sit before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, how much talking do we do?
Yes. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And if we can think of it as often we're ranting or we're begging, mm-hmm. We're not dwelling in the midst of, you know, our God, the ultimate wisdom, the creator of all things. Mm. We're not dwelling in the secret place, you know. Mm. And so talking is a form of control. Mm. And we are doing so much talking. And so then we carry that into, you know, this is to be a relationship. And in a relationship, you don't do all the talking. In a mm-hmm. conversation, you don't do all the talking. Mm. At some point, you have to listen. Mm. You should want to listen. Mm.
That's one of my favorite tools. Judy, for listeners, she's also a Sherpa executive coach and one of the best and one of the top in the world. She actually is the one that trained me in the Sherpa executive coaching. And one of my favorite tools is listen, think, mm-hmm. then communicate.
Yes. And actually find, you know, even in Habakkuk, he realizes that he's been ranting in his second question, because then at the beginning of the second chapter, he says, I'm going to stand watch and set myself on a rampart or a defensive wall and watch to see what you're going to say to me.
Love it.
And what I will answer when I am corrected, when I am corrected. So it's sort of like he had a tantrum of sorts. And then he says, okay, I'm done. And now I'm going to wait on you to correct me.
Love it. Love
it. You know, you can only do that with someone you know. You know, if
Absolutely.
You think of your parent, you know that your parent knows more than you do, yet they upset you so many times with the truth. And sometimes a parent, you know, will say, are you done? Now mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you how this goes. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting, because then that's when he speaks to him by saying, write a vision, write the vision, not write a vision, write the vision. I gave you a vision for a purpose. Now go write the vision and make it so plain, make it so simple that everyone will get it as they run, because this will surely come. And so it is the just having to live by faith, because you know it's coming, but you don't know when. And your job is to be prepared, because the Lord keeps telling us and showing us over and over again that I'm in my holy temple, and at some point, every knee is gonna bow and every tongue Amen. Is gonna confess that I am Lord. Now, are you gonna wait? Are you gonna do it now? Are you going to know because I spoke it and my word is making you free? It should lighten your load to know that even though in today, with this virus, I have no idea. Nobody knows whether, I don't think the Lord certainly didn't cause this virus, but he mm-hmm. allowed this virus. Mm-hmm. And someone mentioned that on this past Sunday, they had some kind of data, which if I repeated it, it will be wrong, but thinking about how many people streamed into worship, you know, into full worship, even though there's all these obstacles, you know, distance, you know, don't. There's all these rules. Yet we don't need a building. There's so much, we don't need anything because the Lord is with us everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're engulfed by him like a fish in water.
And so it is this opportunity for those of us who know to write the vision and make it plain so that it's simple enough that people will absolutely get this because it is where their hope comes from. And it's the reason why, even after all of this, of why the tantrum, now I'm going to sit and wait to see, you know, what he does. The Lord actually gives him more to think about by, in essence, telling him that the wicked will not win. You know, you can really calm down on that.
Exactly. People are pretty fearful about that and stressed.
Yes, because we know that we've all come short, but then there are really bad people. And I love how Becca says, you know, we know amongst us there are some unrighteous people, but this group is really unrighteous, like
yep.
like there are degrees of righteousness, you know.
Exactly. I thought it was
so funny yep. because we do that all the time. We're yep. like,
oh, we totally, you know, do.
I'm yep. kind of bad, but I'm not as bad as them.
Yeah, there's that judgment. It flips in. I've been praying for protection on that because, man, it's so easy to flip into that.
So easy.
And that's so why easy. verse 2:4, which we were talking about, look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him. I'm a proud one. I'll own that. Yes. My soul is not right within me unless Jesus Christ of Nazareth is sitting on the throne. My soul is not right. My flesh will lead my spirit.
Yes.
Unless I have Jesus Christ of Nazareth sitting on the throne of my heart. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my mind. I don't trust my will, my emotions. I trust God.
Yes.
Because that's where I'll be led into still waters. And that's where the storm will be calmed. I love in 2:4, look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. That's so yes. powerful, Judy.
It really is, because it reminds us that we are saved not by our works or good mm-hmm. deeds, but through faith in Christ, period.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see that message resound in the New Testament, Romans 1:17.
Yes.
This verse 2:4 is quoted in Romans 1:17 when Paul is speaking about, hey, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing up from faith and leading to faith. Faith to faith, faith to faith. As it is written and remains true forever, the just and upright shall live by faith.
Yes.
And that's from, what's the other pronunciation? I've always said Habakkuk, but it's Habakkuk?
Habakkuk.
Yes. So Habakkuk 2:4. And then in Galatians 3:11, again, Paul says, now it is clear that no one is justified. That is clear yes. from guilt or sin or penalty, because God, by the law, and then again, he quotes 2:4, the righteous, the just, the upright shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
When something's repeated several times, it stops me in my tracks.
Yes. As it should for all of us. Yes. Yes.
And it allows us to really ask, what's going on here, and how do I want to respond to this?
It also helps us remember that there is nothing new under the sun.
Mm. Very true.
And that it looks a little different. It keeps validating, at least for me, that the Lord is a very present help.
Here now.
That it's right now that he is a help. And every time we refuse to seek him first, his kingdom and his righteousness, and really believe that everything else will be added if we will do that. Hmm. When I'm talking to myself, which I do a lot, I say to myself, Judy, what exactly would he have to do?
You and I are very similar that way, sister.
Oh my goodness. Over and over and over again.
Yep.
You know, to your point, you know, he's willing to repeat it, you know, until you get it. Over and over again.
Very patient.
Very patient. And so even in Habakkuk, as he says, you know, woe to the wicked, you know, but in all things, let us remember that the Lord is in his holy temple, and let all the earth keep silent before him.
That's so powerful. And I want to end with a little discussion around Habakkuk 3:17 through 19.
Yes.
This really hit me this morning when I was on my knees just asking the Lord to speak through these scriptures. This is a real powerful, these are very similar to what I feel is going on in our minds these days. In 17, it says, though the fig tree does not blossom, okay, though there's no toilet paper around me,
yes,
or paper towels, or the essentials that I feel that I need in order to have Maslow's hierarchy of needs, basic safety and connection.
Yes.
Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet.
Yet.
This is the biggest yet, or you can say, but.
Yes.
Yet. Yet is a catapulting transitional phrase.
It really is.
It catapults us from our state of despair, scarcity thinking, sense of trepidation around the unknown, and then we hear, yet.
Yet.
Yet I will choose. This is powerful. We have a choice, just as we do in Galatians 5:1, just as we do in Deuteronomy. I set before you today life and death. Now choose life. In yes. Galatians 5:1, do not be about freedom. It's the verse about freedom that I will set you free and choose. Do not choose to not be burdened by the yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself. That's a choice point. Mm-hmm. You can allow yourself or you cannot allow yourself. In 18, it says, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like the hind's feet and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility.
Yes. It really, in my commentary on these two verses, it says, discovering firsthand the joy of the Lord, which comes supernaturally. It comes supernaturally from the Spirit of God, and therefore gives us new strength. new strength to our lives, because God's joy is like an ointment to our muscles. And discovering this joy makes our feet like deer's feet, and we will learn to run up and down through the mountains and the valleys of life. I think ultimately because we are keeping our mind stayed on God. We're not looking at everything that's going on around us, you know, and Psalms 91 reassures us. We can pray it over and over and over again of what we will not experience because we are under the shadow, under the wings
of the Almighty,
of our God. Yes.
I love that you referenced Psalm 91. That's the psalm I read every night for several years when I was going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. I would declare it over my body, and I would say down to my cellular level, into my mitochondria, which are the engines to my cells, I declare the truth of Psalm 91. That's another one, listeners, if you haven't really allowed yourself to linger in the power of Psalm 91. That's another group of scriptures during this time that can remind our mind of what our spirit connected to Christ or the Holy Spirit always knows. We are safe.
Yes.
In the shadow of the Almighty, we are safe. He is our refuge, our rock. He makes us walk with confidence on high places. He allows us to scale walls.
Yes.
He allows us to be able to navigate the high places, the trails in life that aren't clear. He is our wisdom. If we lack wisdom, we're told in the New Testament, ask and it shall be given to you. But don't doubt when you ask. Because the man or woman who doubts is like the buoy without an anchor. Will just get tossed around in the waves, one fear to another. It will live by fear to fear to fear to fear. And as we read in Galatians 3:11 or Romans 1:17, we're called to live by faith, faith to faith to faith, in order to rise up and walk on water as Peter did. Lord, help me, help us, because we're sinking. And it's that simple prayer of surrender. I can't do this on my own efforts, that evokes and unleashes, as you mentioned, Judy, it's a supernatural gift.
Yes. And you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to do anything but humble yourself and speak honestly to the God of your salvation. And he has told us if we would just humble ourselves and pray that he would heal our land. He just tells us in Psalms 91, that 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It shall not come near you, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And I hope that gives you peace and a substantial amount of joy that you can start with a burden. And you can ask the Lord questions and he will answer you. And yet it may not be what you're expecting to hear, but you find joy in the strength that is him. And you find joy in the God of your salvation. It is a hallelujah, praise his name, opportunity.
With that, we are at the end of this podcast, because that could not have been a better closing. Just saying, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, God adores you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every word before you speak it. He longs to fellowship with you more today than yesterday. God is the hound from heaven. He continually seeks you out to be able to offer you that supernatural gift of the peace that passes all human understanding, of the joy that gives you strength and confidence in the time of uncertainty. Yes, Lord, we have no idea what the future holds. And we know that you hold our future.
Yes.
So we will choose to rejoice in
yes.
you. We will choose to shout in exultation.
Yes.
The victorious God of our salvation. Lord God, you are our strength, our source of courage. You're our invincible army. You have made our feet sure. You've made our paths straight. Give us the grace to hear your voice behind us. This is the way. Walk in it. Less of us, Lord, more of you. Give us the strength of humility. Show us the areas where we are being prideful, where we are taking our circumstances in our own hands. We can hear your voice gently and calmly saying to us, interrupting us in that self-focus and self-centeredness, are you done yet? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to fellowship like this. I pray that you bless everyone that's on this call. And may your will be done. And grant us the grace of complete surrender and trust, more today than yesterday. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Judy, thank you so
Amen.
Much for your time, for your fellowship.
Pleasure.
Just stay on for a couple minutes. I'm going to stop the recording and we can connect before going our separate ways.
Okay.
Listeners, again, thank you for pushing the pause button today, and continue to join us at edgegodin.com to champion your human potential in Christ. Give them heaven, because there's enough of the other side going on around us. Take care and God bless you. Enjoy your gift of life today.